Brothers and sisters, and welcome to Sunday worship. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. So, dearly Father, as we come before you, we humble ourselves before you and be like the one you esteem, he who is humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at your word. I pray that you'll fill each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit. Give us your power and your wisdom. I pray that you help use the Holy Spirit and help us to understand your word. And I pray that you help us to put your word into practice so that in the future, we will not be like the one who calls you Lord, Lord. But we know that not everyone who calls you Lord, Lord can enter the kingdom of God, but only he who does the will of your Father in heaven. So I pray that you'll fill us with the Holy Spirit today. Help us to listen to your words, listen carefully and pay attention, and put it into practice so that in the future you may say that you know us and we know you also. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen. Okay. So, today I'm going to share with you James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. So, in verse 1, so the author of the book of James is obviously James. And so, who is James? James is actually the half-brother of Jesus Christ. So, if we look, since he was a half-brother, but then when Jesus was still alive and he was preaching about the kingdom of God and telling people to repent for the kingdom of God is near, James actually did not believe in Jesus Christ. So where we see that is actually in John chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. So let's turn to John chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. Okay, so that says, Jesus' brother said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea, so your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world, for even his own brothers did not believe in him." So here we see that at the beginning, Jesus' brothers did not believe in, so James did not believe in Jesus. And so, but then when James wrote the book of James, we see that he repented. So instead of, he repented from being not believing in Jesus Christ to calling himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he calls himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means he will face persecution from the church. Because back then, when Jesus was alive, he already, the church, the people persecuted Jesus. So if you preach in the name of Jesus, you'll also be persecuted. So here we can see that James has repented, and now he is even suffering for Jesus Christ. Okay, and then so that's the author of the book of James, and let's see who James is writing to. So continue on in verse 1, so James chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings." So there's two reasons why people are scattered. The first one is either it's due to your sins, or the second one is due to the gospel. So the first one, due to sins. So if we look at the Israelites, so the Israelites have actually been scattered all around the world. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Leviticus chapter 26, then you'll see the reason why the Israelites were scattered. Because those two chapters are pretty long, you can either look at them at home or in Sunday school. Because the Israelites did not follow God's command, that's why they were scattered. So God's command is to believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another as ourselves. That's taken from 1 John chapter 3, 23. So how the Israelites did not do those two things is that, number one, they worship other idols. So they worship the idols of the Gentiles. And then number two, they also offer their children to the idols. So that means they're not loving one another as themselves when they offer their children to other idols. Okay, so that's reason number one why people are scattered, due to sins. And then reason number two is due to the gospel. And then so we can see that in Acts, chapter 7 and verse chapter 8, we can see that in chapter 7, Stephen was he was put to death, and then so in Acts chapter 8, all the apostles of Jesus Christ, they were all scattered. Yeah. So there's two reasons. So the book of James is actually written to like anyone who has been scattered. So I don't know whether you I don't know whether you face trials for the kingdom's sake, so for God's sake, for the gospel's sake, or because you are scattered because you sin against God. But if you fall within those two categories, then James chapter 1 verses 1 to 4 is good for you. Okay, so because Jesus Christ said that in John chapter 16 verse 33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So that means he's already telling you that you will face trials of many kinds. So so keep in mind that you'll always have to face trials. So it could either be due to sin or gospel. And so if we take a look at John chapter 16, 33, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So the key word in here is that in order to overcome all these troubles, you have to be in Jesus Christ. So what that means to be in Jesus Christ, it means that you have to let the Word of God dwell within you. That's taken from 1 John chapter 2, verses 24. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 says, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. So what you have heard, that means the Word of God. So that means you have to let the Word of God dwell within you, and then you will be living in Jesus Christ. And when you let the Word of God dwell within you, your life also has to be changed. So that whenever you are in Christ, it doesn't matter where you are, you will be all right. Okay. And then, so now let's go back. That was the introduction to the book of James. Let's go back to James chapter 1. So in James chapter 1, James is explaining like all the kinds of troubles that you may be facing in your life. When he was writing chapter 1, he also had chapter 5 verses 11 in mind. So let's take a look at James chapter 5 verses 11. So verse 11, James chapter 5 verse 11 says, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So here we can see that that it talks about Job persevering. But what did he persevere through? Like, what kind of trials was he facing? If you read the book of Job within the first two chapters, you will see that Job, first he lost all his property, then he lost all his children. He lost 7 sons and 3 daughters, and then he was also covered with painful sores from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And he was in so much pain that he even had, he was taking a piece of broken pottery and scraping at himself. So he was in a lot, that was the type of trials that Job went through. And so when Job was going through these trials and all these pain and suffering, Job's 3 friends, they decided to get together and come to comfort Job. And so, Job's friends, when he saw Job, they immediately, they were thinking that Job must have done something wrong. And so, through all these trials, Job not only lost, his property, children, and then was covered in painful sores, he also lost his good name too. Okay. And then so those were some of the trials that Job went through. And so let's see, James chapter 1 verses 2 talks about what we should do when we're going through trials. So in James chapter 1 verses 2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So these trials of many kinds is it could be exactly, so Job faced certain trials, and then also other trials that you can face is pain and suffering, trouble, distress, maybe losing your job, And then in Job's case, losing your property and losing your children. Okay, so these are all like really trials of various kinds. And then, so normally, when you face trials, your first response is that you consider yourself to be forsaken by God, or abandoned by God, or even forgotten by God. And so oftentimes you would murmur and grumble and complain against God and ask Him, like, where are you, God? Why are you not delivering me now? And then, but that's actually the wrong response, and the right response is actually found in James chapter 1, verse 2. You should actually consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Okay. So the one thing that when you're facing trials that you have to keep in mind is that whenever you're suffering, Jesus Christ actually suffers with you. But you never know this unless you are able to read the scripture, right? So let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. So Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9, it says, "In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old." So if you keep this in mind that whenever you're suffering, that Jesus Christ is also suffering with you, then you won't grumble against God, and so you won't walk away from God. Okay. So remember how, and another thing that you have to do in order to make sure that you don't ever walk away from God is what I said from before, is 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, that you see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. So that means that, once again, you have to let the Word of God dwell within you, or else whenever you face trials of many kinds, you will easily fall away. Okay, so let's go back to James chapter 1, verses 2. So remember that in verse 2 it says to consider it pure joy. And then, so verse 3 is the reason why we face trials of many kinds. So verse 3 says, "Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." So here we can see that the testing of your faith means going through trials of many kinds. And so reason number one why we face trials. So the title of today's sermon is Why We Face Trials, right? And then so reason number one is God uses trials to test our faith in Him. Okay, that's reason number one. And then reason number two is God uses trials to change our character. Okay, so in James chapter 1, verses 3, you can't see that God requires our character to be changed, right? So we have to actually look at Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5 to see that our character actually has to be changed through going through trials. Okay. So let's look at Romans chapter 5 verses 3 to 5. It says, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." So starting in verse 3, it says that we have to rejoice in our sufferings, which is exactly what James was saying, to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. Okay, so and then continuing on, it says that because we know suffering produces perseverance, exactly what James said, that the testing of our faith develops perseverance. And then Romans chapter 5, verse 4, perseverance, character, and character, hope. So when you persevere and endure under trial, then your character will be changed. And once your character has been changed into more like what God wants you to be like, then you will have hope. Then you'll be able to have hope. So hope that God will reward you according to all your suffering and your pain. Okay, so how exactly do we change? Like, how exactly does our character get changed? I'm not sure if anybody has heard a Chinese saying that you can move a mountain, but you cannot change a person's character. But this is actually not true. So God can move mountains, and He can change your character too. So there are two ways that your character can be changed. Number one is you either let the Word of God dwell with, let the Word of God change your life. So what that means is that you have to study and serve. So you have to study the Scripture for yourself and serve according to the Scripture. Then you'll be perfect in God's sight. That means then your character will be changed and you'll become perfect. Or the second way is that He will allow you to go through trials of many kinds in order to change your character. So let's look at some examples from the Bible of how God has changed people's characters. So throughout the Bible, there are many examples of people facing trials and then their character has been changed. So Job experienced one kind of trials. Joseph, another kind, Daniel also, and Paul as well. So we're going to focus on Job and Paul today. So earlier on I talked about the trials that Job faced, but do we know if Job's life has changed? Because if we look at Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says that, look at the second sentence, it says that this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. So Job, he was already a blameless man. Latter part of chapter 1 and chapter 2, he went through all the trials. And then starting in chapter 3, we see that because Job's suffering was so great that he began to curse himself, and he became very angry with his friends. And that was because, his friends were accusing him of, oh, you may have, your children may have sinned, you may have sinned, so that's probably why God is punishing you. So Job was angry with his friends, and he did not appreciate his friends telling him to repent. Job was arguing with his friends all the way until we get to chapter 32. So from chapter 32 to chapter 37 of Job, the book of Job, there was a young preacher named Elihu who talked to Job. And when Elihu, the young preacher, was talking, we see that Job did not say a single word. He just listened very carefully and paid attention to what Elihu had said. So at the end of chapter 37, Elihu finished talking, and because Job paid attention and he humbled himself, then starting chapter 38, Job was able to hear God's voice, and he also saw the glory of God. I wanted to see if Job's life was changed, right? So there was a change in Job's life, and how do we know? It's because at the end of chapter 38, when God told Job to pray for his three friends, Job did not say anything, right? He didn't argue with his friends, he just did it. So that change was a character change, and that character change was brought about by perseverance. So Job persevered through his trials. So whenever he first lost his property, lost his children, he didn't sin against God. And then he was covered in painful sores. He still did not sin against God. But he was very close to forsaking God in chapter 32 to 37. Okay. So we can see that perseverance produces character. And then our second example that we are going to look at today was Paul. So if we look at Acts chapter 9, so Paul, he used to be called Saul, and Paul used to persecute the church. So Acts chapter 9, verses 1. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." Okay, so before Jesus Christ appeared to Saul, Saul was actually persecuting the church, but after Jesus Christ appeared to him, Saul changed to Paul, and Paul began building the church of God. And ever since Paul became an apostle, we see that Paul faced trials of many, many kinds, and all through all this trials, Paul's own character was changed a lot. So if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 to 10, it talks about the trials that Paul faced as an apostle. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 to 10. Okay, so it says, "Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. Through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yes, yet regarded as imposture, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything." So here, starting verse 4, so Paul said that he went through all these trials by great endurance, which is the same thing as great endurance is the same as persevering, which is what James tells us to do too. So through Paul's perseverance, his great endurance, we see that according to Romans chapter 5 verses 4 that perseverance produces character. So God allowed God allowed Paul to go through great endurance to change his character. And how did his character change? Was that, especially if we look at Paul's old life, when Paul was before Jesus Christ appeared to him, Paul was always beating other people up. But then after Jesus Christ appeared to Paul, he now allowed himself to be beat up by other people. Okay. And then okay. So let's continue on and look at all the trials that Paul has faced. So verse 8. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8. "Through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report." So some people badmouth Paul, but we can see here that sometimes Paul also received good reports. And then genuine yet regarded as imposture. So this genuine, how do we know that Paul's service and also Paul's preaching was genuine? We can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. So it says here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3, "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. So here that we can see that Paul's gospel is genuine because he was not trying to trick anybody, but like he was always trying to please God and not please men. Okay, so going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 now. Known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed. And then verse 10, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. So all these trials, when Paul goes through all this pain and suffering, what we actually see is we see less of Paul and we see more of Jesus Christ living inside Paul. And if we look at, so that means like Paul himself is totally dead. And he has crucified his flesh along with its passions and desires, and Paul completely allows Jesus Christ to live inside him. So that means Paul followed Jesus Christ. And if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says that, follow my example, for I follow the example of Christ. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we can see that Paul follows Christ, and then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says to all of us that we must follow Paul because he follows the example of Christ. So here, make sure that you know you're not given a choice. Like, it's not like, if you want to go into the kingdom of God, you must follow Paul. Okay. So, and then let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So earlier I said that we see less of Paul and more of Jesus Christ. If we look at verse 10, so 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. So if you think about it, that's exactly how, that was exactly Jesus Christ too. So Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows, and where we see this is in Isaiah 53, verses 3. So Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Okay, so we can see that just like Jesus Christ, Paul was also sorrowful. Okay, and then continuing on in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Poor, yet making many rich. So that was Jesus Christ too. Jesus Christ was poor and making many rich. And then having nothing and yet possessing everything. So especially in verse 10, we can see that Paul himself is totally dead and he allows Jesus Christ to live inside him. So if we think about it, so Job went through trials of many kinds, pain and suffering, and his character has been changed. And also Paul has also been, he also went through pain and suffering and trials of many kinds, and Paul's character has also been changed. So both these character changes is to be more like Jesus Christ. And when we're more like Jesus Christ, and if we're able to become more like Jesus Christ through suffering, then shouldn't we consider it pure joy, as James chapter 1 verses 2 says? Because, so another reason why we should consider it pure joy is because in Matthew chapter 5 verses 48, it says, to be perfect therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That means, so God requires us to be perfect, but none of us is perfect. And so how do we become perfect is that we have to first go through trials of many kinds. So we have to go through suffering, and then through suffering, we will have, so through suffering, we will produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. That was Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Okay, so this suffering is actually very important because in order to make Jesus Christ perfect, Jesus Christ himself actually went through suffering. If we look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 to 9, it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So here, it's talking about Jesus Christ. And so it talks about how through the process of suffering, Jesus Christ was able to learn obedience to God. And then also through the process of suffering, Jesus Christ was made perfect. So if we also go through trials of many kinds and go through suffering and endure through it, we will also be made perfect. And that's how we can follow Matthew chapter 5 verses 48. That, because God requires us to be perfect just as our Heavenly Father is perfect. So an important key point here is that without suffering, no one can be made perfect. And also, if we know that the end result is, if we know that when we go through suffering and the end result is to be made perfect, then we would consider it pure joy, just as how James and Paul both said. So through the process of suffering, we're made perfect, but you must endure, and you don't just endure by yourself. If you have the Word of God within you, then that will help you endure as well. If you during the process, if you look at Paul's life, whenever Paul was suffering, whenever Paul was sorrowful, Jesus Christ would appear to him not once, not twice, but numerous times. And what did Jesus Christ say to Paul? What he said was in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 to 10. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 to 10, it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" So here we can see that Paul's character has totally been changed. Before, Paul was always beating other people up. That means he was strong himself. But when you are strong, then that means Christ's power is not in you. And so once Paul's character has been changed, he now delights in his weaknesses. Paul is weak, then Jesus Christ lives inside Paul, and Jesus Christ himself empowers Paul. And also Jesus Christ will say to you that, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And so here we can see that through all these, and also Paul says that, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." So lots of times when you go through pain and suffering, you say to yourself, I'm too weak, right? And I can't do it because God must have just forgotten about me and he must have forsaken me. Or you would consider it, you would always say, I can't do this anymore, right? But then if you look at what Paul said when he goes through trials and sufferings, Paul himself said that, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." So that's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. So it says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." So that's what it means that for when I am weak, then I am strong. So whenever Paul is weak, Jesus Christ would appear to him and strengthen Paul. And also, another thing you should know about trials and temptations, trials and suffering, is that God will never let you go through trials more than what you can bear. So if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13, it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure under it." So that's why we should follow Paul, for he follows the example of Christ. And so that means we should also delight in our weaknesses. For when we are weak, then we are strong. Then we are filled with Christ's power. And we can, and keep in mind that we can do all things through Him who gives us strength. And God will never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And we also see this in Job's life. When Job was going through trials, so just as when Job was about to forsake God, Elihu, the young preacher, came. So that's an example of God not letting you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Because we know that Job was blameless in God's sight, and we also know that in Psalms chapter 1, verse 6, that the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So know that whenever you face trials and of many kinds, that God is always watching over you. Okay. Okay, so let's go back to 2 Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians, so in chapter 12 and chapter 6, let's compare those two. So in chapter 6, you can see that Paul himself is totally dead and Jesus Christ lives inside him. And then in chapter 12, you can see the character changes of Paul. So so you can see that he now delights in weakness and that for when he is weak, then he is strong. So Paul himself went through suffering and he persevered under it. So once he persevered, his character was changed. And then once his character has changed, he now has hope in Jesus Christ. Okay, so now let's go back to so now I've explained the first two reasons that we go through trials. Number one is to test our faith in Him, and number two is to change our character. So now let's go back to James chapter 1, verses 4. Yep. So remember that this one, trials to test our faith in Him, is found in verse 2 of James. And then this one, to change our character, was found in Hebrews chapter 5, verses Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Okay. Let me double check. Yeah, this is Romans. Okay, so now verse 4. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So here, if we look at the NASB version of the translation, we see that the word mature is actually translated as perfect. So let me read the NASB version of verse 4 to you. It says, "And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So verse 4 is what God wants our lives to be like. He wants us to be mature, perfect, and complete, and not lacking anything. So this not lacking anything is very important. And what does it mean to not lack anything? Is that That means you will, when you don't lack anything, that means whenever you pray to God, God will answer your prayer. Let's look at James chapter 5, verses 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So, when your character has been changed, and Jesus Christ lives in you, and all his power, wisdom, knowledge, riches, honor, and glory dwells within you, that means you'll be completely lacking in nothing. Or, in James' words, not lacking anything. And so whenever you're in need and you cry out to God, then God will answer your prayer. That's what it, and then not only on earth will you be lacking in nothing, also in the future, you'll also be lacking in nothing, because once you know that your character has been changed and you then you have the hope, and then you have hope that God will give you the same blessings that he gave to Abraham. So let's look back at the two examples from earlier, Paul and Job, and see if their lives are really not lacking anything. Okay, so if we look at Paul's life, God not only provided for Paul, but through Paul, God also provided for other people and other churches. When Paul was in prison, Paul wrote a lot of books to encourage many people, and Paul never died of starvation because people brought money to him. And then if you look at Job's life, after Job went through all his trials of many kinds, God blessed Job and gave him double portion of everything he had except for his children. Okay, so there's three reasons that we face trials of many kinds. So first reason, test our faith in him, change our character, and reason number three is so that we may be mature and complete. Which also means that we may be perfect. And not lacking in anything. Okay. So those are the three reasons why we face trials. One more thing. In verse 4, just as how, like, not only does Paul and Job have the hope, we also see that King David himself has the same hope. In Psalms chapter 23, verse 1, it says that, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." So what does it mean that the Lord is King David's shepherd? Is that what it means is that King David will follow Jesus Christ. So the Lord is Jesus Christ, and so King David will follow his shepherd and will follow Jesus Christ. And then the latter part of verse 23, verse 1, it says, "I shall not be in want." That means King David himself is lacking in nothing, not just on earth, but also in the future. Okay, so now let's go back to James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. So in conclusion, whenever you face trials, make sure you consider it pure joy, not as bad luck. And why is that? Is because whenever you go through trials of many kinds, God is trying to change your character. He's trying to change your character so that he can bring you into his glorious kingdom, because he requires you to be perfect, just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So he's trying to change your character to become more perfect like Jesus Christ. And also, you're facing trials of many kinds because God wants to test your faith in him. Why does he want to test your faith? It's because he wants to determine whether you have a genuine faith or a counterfeit faith. Then that way he can reward you according to whether your faith is genuine or counterfeit. Okay, so, and also, so make sure you consider pure joy, and make sure you keep in mind what God wants to do. So he wants to bring you into his kingdom and reward you according to your faith. So once you know this, then whenever you face trials of many kinds, you will, just as in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, you will, when you're facing suffering, you will persevere. And when you persevere, your character will be changed to become more like Jesus Christ. And once your character has been changed, then you will have hope. So make sure that you never consider it bad luck. You never consider, you never ask God, why me? Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because if Joseph did that in Genesis, then Joseph would have lost all his blessings as well. If Joseph went through 13 years of suffering, if he ever asked God, if he ever grumbled against God, then Joseph has then would lose all his blessings. So make sure you know that according to Isaiah 55. Verses 8 to 9, that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So make sure that your character, in order to go along with, to follow God's thoughts, for God's thoughts to be our thoughts, and his ways to be our ways, our character must be changed, and we must do that through suffering, persevering, and then character changes, and then we get our hope. Okay. Yep. So just so the conclusion is that God wants to test when we go through trials. God wants to test our faith in him, change our character, and so that we may be perfect, not lacking anything. So that is all I wanted to share with everybody today. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I pray that you'll help us to understand what we have heard today, so that when we walk away from here, Satan will not snatch it away from us. I pray that you'll help us to persevere through suffering. I pray that you help us through perseverance to change our character, and when our character has been changed, that we may have a hope in you, Lord. I pray that that you help us to leave our simple ways so that we may live, walk in the way of understanding. And I also pray that you help us to follow Paul, for he follows Christ. Help us to change our ways to be your ways, and change our thoughts to your thoughts. In Jesus' holy name, I pray, amen.